So our next speaker this afternoon, you may have seen last night if you came to the Barrymore Theater for our mini film festival. Kamala Lopez is an actress, filmmaker, activist, and president of Heroica Films. She's launched the movement and the film Equal Means Equal, and we got to see a 10-minute segment of it last night, to educate Americans about the importance of equal rights under federal law for women. Born in New York City to an Indian mother and a Venezuelan father, Lopez has worked as an actor in over 30 feature films and 60 television shows. She also hosted the PBS series Wired Science. A Yale grad in philosophy and theater studies, Lopez formed her production company, Heroica Films, in 1995 with the mission to write, direct, and produce media for women, about women, and utilizing women both in front and behind the camera. And she's leading the charge in Hollywood to get women producers on films. I mean, how hard could it be? It turns out it's really hard. In 2009, Lopez began the ERA Education Project, creating multimedia PSAs and frequently asked questions, social media campaigns, and educational videos, and piloting curriculum and speaking around the country. Her work on behalf of women and girls has been widely recognized and awarded. Equal Means Equal is a labor of love that Lopez embarked on 6 years ago when she first realized that women still do not have the constitutional protections in the United States that she, like most Americans, thought that they had. And I can tell you, it's a great film. We got to see a piece of it last night. It's been it's won an award at the Toronto Film Festival. It has been really well reviewed. You really should check out the film, Equal Means Equal. And now you're going to get to hear from the filmmaker herself. Please welcome Kamala Lopez.
Hello, everyone! Welcome to Fighting Bob Fest. I am so grateful to be included with so many of my sheroes, my heroes, and true American patriots. And I thank all of you for the hard work you do every day, and for the organizers for making this a reality. This festival brings together those who would speak truth to power and are willing to pull back the curtain and reveal that often the Great Oz is really just a corporate salesman in a bad toupee. There are many critical issues facing the American people today. Issues that threaten to tear the fabric apart of our great nation. These issues are often framed to pit us against them so as to divide and conquer. And as we know, that is the quickest and easiest way to rip people off and slip something past them. But we at Fighting Bob, we're here to do the opposite. We believe that by coming together as allies, as friends, and as people of goodwill, we can examine these issues and use our considerable rational power as a diverse and inclusive group of human beings to find just, sustainable, and humane solutions to the problems America is suffering. I'm here today to speak about the puzzle, the piece of the puzzle that directly affects more than half of us. I would like to talk to you about what is going on with women and girls. At present, and for the past decade or so, there has been a very clear propaganda campaign in the popular culture designed to convince American women and girls that they are already equal to men in our society in every way. American girls today are being told that they can be, do, and have whatever they want, that they are sexually liberated and empowered, that they can be president of the United States, they can run their own businesses, and they can swipe right on Tinder. But the truth is that they are, were, and always have been second-class citizens in this United States of America. The fact of the matter is that there is a fundamental legal problem with our Constitution. This is not by error. This is not a matter of opinion, discussion, or nuance. In 1787, when our Constitution was written, women were chattel, an item of property other than real estate. We were the property of our fathers, and then upon marriage, of our husbands. It is still this way in many parts of the world today. In fact, Gloria Steinem told me that the legal model of wives was the basis for the legal model of slaves. And while the society has evolved and changed and women have achieved multiple legal rights, the basic document upon which all legal precedent is based remains, as in 1787, failing to recognize that men and women enjoy the same legal status. So they don't. And at this point in our history and our culture, very few people know this. It has been conveniently forgotten, remains untaught, and swept under the rug, but it has major ramifications that cut across all segments of our society. Without the Equal Rights Amendment to the United States Constitution, which simply states, equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States nor by any state on account of sex, women find themselves with no solid ground beneath them when they seek justice for gender-based discrimination. Leaving women out of the Constitution flies in the face of the values and principles of the United States of America, where we believe that all people are created equal and should be treated equally under the law. It also makes it easier for companies to discriminate against women and get away with it. Even some extremely well-meaning allies and actual icons within the present feminist movement subscribe to the mentality that it's up to us to have great self-esteem and confidence, to be bold and aggressive in negotiating for ourselves, to speak up, to have a unique and loud voice. Do these things, they promise, and discrimination will crumble before you. But the fact is that today in 2016, women continue to be unceremoniously discriminated against in the service of the rights and profits of businesses and multinational corporations every day. Over the course of creating the ERA Education Project and filming the documentary Equal Means Equal, I have been drilling down into issue after issue with disparate impact on women's lives. From rape and domestic violence to rates of female incarceration, the gender pay gap, and reproductive rights, what has become exceedingly clear is that at the bottom of each of these issues are laws that are failing women. The intention of the law in place may be good, but they are often archaic, invariably insufficient, and mostly deliberately ignored and unenforced. In addition, court-created loopholes allow those who would cheat or hurt women a myriad of ways around providing them with equal protection under the law. If there were teeth to our laws, would three women die every day at the hands of their intimate partner? Would students on our college campuses be protesting an unsafe world of higher education for girls? Victims of domestic violence find that a restraining order is not legally enforceable, that having a rapist prosecuted and DNA evidence tested is a pipe dream, that routinely being paid between 22 and 56% less money for the same work is par for the course. Just keep your mouth shut and put up with it. Things could be worse. These crimes go unpunished, tolerated, accepted. This is the world we are living in. Many of you are well educated on the issues of homelessness, domestic violence, of gendered poverty and cultural biases, of sexual assault and pregnancy discrimination. But what I would like you to look at is how these various issues form a matrix of prejudice, supported by the various social systems, economic, educational, governmental, judicial, cultural. And this matrix of discrimination is perpetuated by the culture, internalized by the victims, and generally accepted as normal. We are living in an age where propaganda, infotainment, and soft news are bombarded at the public 24/7. The vast majority of us don't have the time or the investigative skills to get to the bottom of what is actually going on out there. Much of what we are being told and most of the information that we receive has to be reinterpreted and analyzed through the lens of whoever is paying to put said information out there. The effect of this massive and perpetual propaganda campaign on young women and girls is all-encompassing and extremely persuasive. Most young women I speak with have, to some degree or other, bought into this empowerment narrative, hook, line, and sinker. But feeling empowered is exactly that. It's a subjective sensation. And while I have no beef with young women feeling confident and feeling like they can conquer the world, my problem is the confluence between subjective and objective realities. The objective reality for women, young women in particular, is not at all what is being sold to them. Empowerment is not power. How you feel about yourself will not get your rapist any jail time or compel corporations to pay you properly. So American women today are living in a state of perpetual cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance is essentially holding two conflicting ideas as true simultaneously. One clearly must be false. The culture is telling them that they're doing better than ever, that they're the most fortunate group of females on the planet. But the reality on the ground is they cannot make ends meet with three minimum wage jobs and no childcare. And while 175 countries have a sex equality provision in their constitution, the United States is the only country in the industrialized world without these explicit protections for women. America is reaching a breaking point. Our systems are outdated and failing. They are serving an America that is long gone, rather the America that exists right now. If we want change, we have to stop gaslighting this generation. No matter how uncomfortable, we must inform them that despite doing the majority of the labor, both inside and outside of the home, our society has always seen women as less, treated them with less respect and dignity, and exploited them and their bodies for profit at every turn. And it will always be that way until we rise up and we do something about it. Women have been a major force in every single successful civil rights movement in this country. We have been out there on picket lines, in marches, knocking on doors and getting arrested. We've had skin in the game of every social justice movement to date. So why is it that the one obvious human rights movement that hasn't gotten the traction it needs to put it over the finish line is the one that counts no men as its beneficiaries? Women need the support of our allies in all of our communities to put skin in the game for us, to stand up for us, to take on this fight with us, because we are not going to be able to do it alone. And because we are always there, we have always been there, and we will always be there for everybody else. The time is now for women to use their voices and demand their due without equivocation, without apology, with full knowledge that not only is this the right thing to do, it is what must be done. Every day we wake to see extreme violence unleashed on the innocent. We see growing economic inequality, racial tension, and a huge increase in the us versus them mentality that only serves to rip us apart from the inside. We see the increasing speed of the downward spiral as we become more desperate and divided. All of those things that modern American society denigrates, compassion, empathy, collaboration, diplomacy, kindness, gentility, civility. These are the very qualities we need in great abundance and with great urgency throughout the world. And we bring that to the table in spades. So let us do what we do best. Let us take care of the world. We can only do that if we all agree that it is the next best step. If we stop and look into our hearts and listen to our souls, we know that it is true that women are mankind's last hope. There is no doubt in my mind that the Equal Rights Amendment needs to be the first action. Federal legal equality is necessary to protect women and elevate their present social standing in America. We need to re-examine all the laws presently on the books from the perspective of gender discrimination. Once ratified, the ERA will either completely resolve or provide a map for how to begin to address the various injustices women have been suffering over the last two centuries. We should all unite with this goal in mind. Bring all of our resources, networks, and passions together to achieve what is a very basic necessity for the common good. The ERA is simply a clear expression of what 96% of the American public already believe is true, that men and women are equal. More than half of the battle this time around will be to combat misinformation, disinformation, and find economically viable avenues to reach the public. The single most important thing we can do is educate, educate, educate. And I've made this documentary, Equal Means Equal, with that goal in mind. Please use it. Use it in your homes, in your churches, in your schools, in your communities. Help bring the national conversation to the urgent need for women's rights today. The planet depends on it. Thank you.
All right, Kamala Lopez, everybody. I got to meet Kamala's mom, who is helping with the film and came to our offices yesterday and was there last night at the Barrymore. And I was telling her about how my 15-year-old daughter, Lily Cooper, who's here walking around with buckets, went to the Republican and Democratic National Conventions as a youth radio reporter for WORT and got one of the last interviews with Phyllis Schlafly, chief enemy of the Equal Rights Amendment. And it was a fantastic experience. She had studied Phyllis Schlafly in history class. She got to interview her. She got some of her last words, which were, and I quote, "I don't know what those feminists are complaining about." So we got a lot of text messages when Phyllis Schlafly died saying that Lily may, in fact, have killed her. I don't know. I don't know if I go that far, but she did get that historic last interview.